Welcome to The Refresh from Insider. I'm Dave Smith.
And I'm Rebecca Ibarra. It's Wednesday, August 31st, and we're here with you updating the news all day, every weekday.
Here's the latest.
South Carolina is the latest state to move towards an abortion ban. On Tuesday, the state's house passed a bill which would make all abortions illegal except in cases of rape, incest, or if the pregnant person's life is at risk, and up to 12 weeks from conception. The rape or incest exception was only written in after a much more restrictive bill was voted down. Another house vote and then a Senate debate still need to happen, though, before this becomes state law.
Texas Governor Greg Abbott's protest over President Biden's border policies is backfiring, and taxpayers are paying the price. New data obtained by CNN shows the state has spent over $12 million putting immigrants on buses and sending them to Washington, D.C. and New York since April. Abbott says he is tired of Biden's lack of control at the Mexican border. The governor's office has asked for donations to fund the scheme, but so far only around $160,000 has been raised.
We've got new details about the government search of Mar-a-Lago and what the DOJ says was likely obstruction of justice. According to a midnight court filing, Trump and his attorneys were given weeks to hand over sensitive documents, and Trump's counsel swore in a written oath that they'd conducted a diligent search. But the filing says the government found evidence that Trump's team likely concealed and removed records in order to hamper the investigation. And when the FBI finally showed up at Mar-a-Lago, the documents were all over the place, in desk drawers, in an office. The feds recovered more than 100 papers marked as classified, twice as many as had been voluntarily returned.
It's been 50 years, but the families of 11 Israeli athletes killed at the Olympic Games in Munich have finally reached a compensation deal with Germany. They were killed by Palestinian attackers during the 1972 Games. Relatives blame the German government for not securing the Olympic Village. Local news agencies are reporting the compensation offer is around 28 million euros. The German and Israeli governments say the agreement, quote, cannot heal all wounds, but it opens up a door to each other.
Yesterday, it was tomato sauce in California holding up traffic. Then Memphis said, hold my beer, because another truck has spilled its pasta sauce cargo all over a highway there. This time, it was Alfredo sauce covering several lanes of the I-55. Katie Beery of Fox News 13 was there.
People were saying, hey, maybe it's a sign. You know, Alfredo sauce, tomatoes, can we mix them? Can we maybe make a great roadside dish?
I bet a load of pesto jars are just sitting scared somewhere, wondering if they'll be next.
Hey, if you like any of these segments that we're producing for The Refresh from Insider, did you know that you can share any of them on social media? It's true. Just look in the description section of your podcast app and you'll see a little share link next to each story. It's super easy. Give it a try. Coming up, who exactly owns the Airbnb you're staying in and why it matters?
The COVID vaccine is getting an update in the U.S. The FDA has approved boosters which go after the BA4 and BA5 variants of Omicron. They'll only be for people who have already been vaccinated with the original shots and should provide more protection. The CDC's Independent Advisory Committee is meeting this week to give the final green light, and pharmacies are expected to begin giving out the shots after Labor Day.
You would think getting rid of a KKK plaque at West Point would be a no-brainer. Well, a naming commission set up by Congress last year says it's not that simple. The commission was tasked with rooting out Confederate memorabilia at Defense Department properties, and the commission says this Klan plaque, identified outside a science building at the military academy, doesn't count because the KKK was founded after the Civil War. But they still think it's wrong, so it was flagged for review.
Life expectancy in the U.S. dropped in 2021, largely thanks to COVID-19. That's the second year in a row. In the before times, aka 2019, people born in the U.S. could expect to live to nearly 80 years old. In 2020, that dropped to 77 years. And in 2021, to about 76. It turns out, though, it's just us. Other high-income countries saw their life expectancy go back up last year. And NPR says that, in a sign of how even public health became politicized during the pandemic, counties that voted for Donald Trump had higher death rates than those that voted for Joe Biden.
Cameron Smith, the number two ranked golfer in the world, is the latest star to defect from the PGA Tour for the Saudi-backed LIV Golf League. Smith and five other pros announced the move on Tuesday, and while we don't know how much Smith is getting paid to switch, he said the financial incentive was too good to ignore. For perspective, we know that the upstart league is shelling out ridiculous numbers to lure talent. Earlier this month, Tiger Woods was reported to have turned down an offer of about $700 million to join.
You've seen that movie where it turns out aliens have been on Earth all along? Well, one Harvard scientist is hoping alien tech could at least be here, buried at the bottom of the Pacific Ocean. Maybe. Professor Avi Loeb is planning a $1.5 million mission to look for specks of a meteor from 2014. He claims it came from outside our solar system, but the data is based on a classified military satellite and can't be verified. Astronomers are skeptical, but Loeb argues that we won't know either way until he investigates properly. Airbnb continues to market itself as a quaint alternative to corporate hotels. But if you've actually stayed in an Airbnb in the last few years, you've likely not gotten that homey feeling. That's because more and more Airbnb-listed properties are kept solely as short-term rentals owned by wealthy entrepreneurs or big investment firms. Kelly Maria Kordecki is a senior editor at The Atlantic, and she's here to tell us why that matters. Kelly, thanks for joining us.
Thanks for having me.
So beyond truth in advertising, why does it matter that Airbnb is no longer just this home sharing app for regular folks anymore?
Well, first of all, part of the appeal, a huge part of the appeal, is that it is not a hotel, that it's a more authentic experience of a place when you're traveling. But also more, I think, pressingly, is that these corporatized Airbnb hosting schemes end up taking housing off the market. Houses become effectively hotels and are no longer available to residents to live in places where there is already a very high population density and housing shortage. That is a huge problem.
Paint a picture of the people or corporations, as you write, that own a lot of these Airbnb listings.
So the founder of Inside Airbnb, it's a watchdog organization that's basically run by this activist, Murray Cox, who built a data scraping site that analyzes the data of Airbnb operations all over the world. I was talking to Murray about this, and he's just like, oh, they come in all shapes and sizes, but most fall into the broad bucket of property entrepreneurs. So that means individual investors, but it also means private equity firms, hedge funds. It means asset management groups that are looking to expand their asset holdings and already kind of dabbling in real estate. And actually, in the past like year, there have been a number of major investment firms that have either announced plans or quietly established funds to support holding companies for property assets in short-term rental like Airbnb. So it's really a huge kind of quiet shift that's happening in the background of real estate investment, property investment.
So going back to this massive growth Airbnb has had, why is it so hard for cities to actually do something about that?
Well, the short answer is that Airbnb's anonymized listings and their bookings and calendars, they make it really, really, really difficult for cities to be able to tell whether a short-term rental is actually being operated by somebody who lives there versus as part of a larger professional hosting scheme. Cities have a lot going on. You would need a like full-time staff dedicated to this kind of investigation to be able to keep tabs 100% of the time.
So Kelly, the end of your story gets into the what next about what cities with housing shortages can do to deal with Airbnb. Talk about that a little and let us know how likely you think any of them are to succeed.
Well, I cannot predict which cities will succeed and by what measures, but I do know that the experts that I've spoken to say that New York City, San Francisco, Santa Monica, these are all really models for how short-term rentals can be properly regulated. Where it's just more difficult for big money investors to build up illegal hotel businesses using housing stock. And, you know, as these cities are able to continue going forward with a bit more time to see the longer term effects of regulations that in some cases are pretty new, we'll be able to see just how effective they are, and potentially other cities can kind of compare and contrast and determine which parts of different regulatory platforms they might be able to adopt for themselves.
Kelly, thanks so much for chatting with me.
Thank you so much for having me. This is fun.
Kelly Maria Korducky is a senior editor at The Atlantic. Make sure to follow The Refresh from Insider on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you listen to podcasts. And please leave a rating and review. It helps other people discover the show.
You can also just tell your smart speaker to play The Refresh from Insider podcast. I'm Dave Smith.
And I'm Rebecca Ibarra. Talk to you soon.